You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today we have not one, not two, but three guests for you on this episode. We're going to be talking to the founding artistic director of the Verity Chorus. We'll be chatting with an award-winning cabaret singer who is saving Christmas, and Sharon, who is the manager of ticket sales and theater operations for Walt Disney Studios and the El Capitan Theater, is giving us all kinds of insider scoop on the El Cap, things like how to get a tour and the name of their Wurlitzer Theater pipe organ. The organ has a name.
It's curtains up on another episode of West of Broadway, a celebration of musical theater in Los Angeles. I'm celebrity publicist and theater veteran Will Armstrong, along with radio host, writer, and theater enthusiast Lara Scott.
Hi.
We're very excited to be talking to Anne-Marie Ketchum of the Verity Chorus Fall 2018 concert in just a moment. But first, we've got some LA theater buzz to share.
Yes, we do. Will, we loved The Color Purple when we saw it at the Pantages recently. And we're so excited to share that the Greenway Court Theater in LA, which I drove by the other day, it's actually just right up the road from where we're taping on beautiful Fairfax Avenue, is doing a production of this incredible show. It's directed and choreographed by NAACP award winner Jeffrey Polk and features Gabrielle Jackson as Celie, April Nixon as Shug Avery, and Dominique Kent as Sophia.
And Dear Evan Hansen, the novel, is coming to Barnes & Noble at the Grove on Tuesday, October 16th at 7 p.m. Lara, this is crazy. The Tony Award-winning musical is now a YA novel, and you can meet the creative team.
And that's a young adult novel.
Yeah.
I found that out because I have an almost tween. I called it YA, and somebody was like, no, that's young adult.
YA.
But, you know, if you know anything about the show, I think it's wonderful that they've done this. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was like, young adult.
It's incredible. And everyone that is a fan of the musical can now have the book to own, and here in Los Angeles at the Grove, they're having a special reading and a performance. And okay, this is the super cool part. The moderator is James Corden.
What?
And the special musical guest is friend of the pod, Shoshana Bean.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy.
She's going to sing, right? Musical guest, I guess. So, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
I love her.
So, each book you purchase gets a fan one raffle ticket that will enter the fans into a drawing for a VIP meet and greet with the authors following the event. And here's how it works. The wristbands will be issued starting at 10 a.m. day of at the Grove. Let's see.
Tuesday, October 16th at 7 p.m.
Exactly. Yes. And for more information, you can go on their Facebook page is facebook.com/BNEventsGrove or contact them at 323-525-0270. And we'll be sure to post all that on our social media, West of Broadway.
Yeah, they always have fun stuff happening at the Grove, and especially that Barnes & Noble is so beautiful. And I love that they're doing this.
No, it's crazy. And
yeah.
James Corden, I love him.
I know. Oh, he's such a good singer. He was just in, he did one of the voices in Smallfoot, which had surprisingly great music.
Yeah.
I didn't know that much about the movie. Channing Tatum sings, Common does this incredible song. Oh my gosh, I love Zendaya. So fun. All right, so let's jump right into it with our very first guest today. Anne-Marie Ketchum is the founding artistic director of the Verity Chorus, which is celebrating their 35th anniversary season this year. As the only choral group in Southern California that focuses primarily on the dramatic and diverse music for opera chorus, this program will feature selections from three Verdi operas as well as some other operatic sequences. Total transparency here, I don't know how to pronounce most of the names of the pieces that they're doing. I thought you would like that, Will. So let's just bring Anne-Marie in right now and let her take it away. Welcome to West of Broadway.
Hi, Anne-Marie.
Erin,
this is so great.
Nice
Thank
to
you.
Be with you.
Nice to have you. This is so great, and we're so excited. And so what we wanted to ask you right out of the gate is, what is an opera chorus versus an opera?
Well, an opera chorus is part of an opera. An mm-hmm. opera is a whole production, like a Broadway theater show. An opera is like that, only the difference between Broadway musical theater and opera is that in opera, everything is sung. There's no spoken dialogue.
Right.
That's really the difference. So the chorus is like a chorus would be in a Broadway show, but it's in opera. There's obviously a storyline in an opera because it you know, it's a whole story that goes from one idea to another and people progress, etc. And so when you take excerpts, it's like taking excerpts from a musical. You can pick really great pieces of music out of a larger work and present them. And the interesting thing about it in this is that, I mean, opera is classical music. And so I can take all kinds of different things, bring them out and put them together from different productions. So we're getting excerpts from this and that. So it's still, the music itself, just by its own nature, is very theatrical. It's not just like your regular choral music because it's all taken out of a story. So the music itself is theatrical. The voices sing in a theatrical way.
That sounds beautiful.
Go ahead, Will. Lately, we've been talking a lot about musicals that are like revusicals, like shows that are just like Candor and Ebb, and it's the music of Candor mm-hmm. and Ebb. And this feels like it's almost an operatic.
It's the Verdi review.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Well, I was joking, Anne-Marie, that I'm a brand new opera fan. I'm even really a new musical theater fan. I don't know how to pronounce the names of the selections that you guys are doing. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you guys will be performing.
Well, sure. So we're called the Verdi Chorus. I choose music from lots of different composers of opera, not just Giuseppe Verdi. I love the music of Verdi for the chorus because he's one of the composers that loves to write for the chorus. It's easily excerptable. The music is marvelous. He treats the chorus as a very important character in each of these operas. So it's not just background music like it might be for some other composer, but it's really very important what the chorus experiences and says. So we almost always include some of Verdi's operas in the programs. But in addition, well, actually, I'll start with Verdi because we'll begin the concert with a piece, a very famous piece called Va Pensiero from Nabucco. And it's a piece that is the Hebrew slaves as they are have left their own land and they're looking back and remembering what their homeland was all about. It's a very moving and very beautiful piece. And then we'll be doing some things from Aida. This is the really big stuff from Verdi. It takes place in Egypt. And we'll be doing this very exciting kind of march. It's called the Grand March from Aida. With some recognizable melodies. People will recognize there's a trumpet part in there that people always recognize. But sure. It's a very exciting piece. Then some pieces from Verdi's Don Carlo or Don Carlos. And ending the first half with something by Arrigo Boito. Boito is also an Italian composer who, by the way, was librettist. In other words, wrote the book, you might say, for some of Verdi's operas. So he was also, you know, he's a writer of words, not just of music. But this is a piece called Mephistophele. It's the Faust legend,
sure.
The old German Faust legend. And we're doing quite a few pieces from that. A really kind of fun witches chorus, which is crazy and wild and fast and has a million words.
Nice.
The baritone that's singing with us, the operatic baritone soloist, is doing a piece sung by the character Mephistopheles or the devil, which is a really kind of wonderful Halloween-y kind of sound.
Exactly. I was just thinking, perfect for this time of year.
Yes.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I know. And then we'll close with this amazing, it's one of my favorite pieces, it's Ave Signor. It's where the people and the heavens and all unite to overcome evil. And musically, it's really extremely expressive and extremely beautiful. It ends with the devil screaming and blowing his whistle, and the chorus of angels and the chorus of people continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger until they end on a unison note that's very powerful and just obliterates all the rest. And so it's a powerful piece. So we'll end the first half with that.
And that's just the first half right there. I already have chills just hearing that. Sounds amazing.
Well, it's hard for me to cut down anything, sure, including the way I talk about it. So I'll give you the second half really quickly. Samson and Delilah. Everybody knows the sure. old story of Samson and Delilah. Well, French composer Saint-Saëns wrote a beautiful opera based on that story, with a very famous aria that the mezzo sings and some beautiful things that the chorus does. And then we'll end with Jacques Offenbach, The Tales of Hoffmann, and quite a few things from that, including the really famous barcarolle, which is, the words are Belle Nuit or Beautiful Night, and it's kind of a lullaby. It's just a really pretty thing, and people will recognize that melody. Even if you're not an opera person, you'll recognize that melody. So anyway, that's the program. It's rich, it's full, it's got lots of different things in it.
Now, how did you choose those selections? It must have been, was it difficult, or did you know right away as you were putting this performance together, no, this is what we want to do because it's so diverse?
Well, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, the chorus has been going for 35 right. years, and I started it. So I know a lot of operas, and I know a lot of opera choruses, and I have, you know, things that I want to do, things that are new, things that I've done before, and so on and so on. I have a few favorites. One of my favorites is the Mephistopheles chorus that I just was talking about. So how do I put it together? It's tricky, I guess, because I'll choose something that I really want to do, and then I hire a soloist. And I say to that soloist, like our soprano soloist, Julie Makarov, okay, I said, so I want to do this. She says, great. I say, what else do you love? And she gives me a list. And then I think, okay, out of that list, I want to do this. So I'll hire a tenor that can do that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of goes from there. I choose from things that I love. I never perform anything that I don't love. So, I mean, why bother, you know?
Exactly.
Why waste your time?
Sure.
Anyway, this
is amazing, and it sounds like this is a great show for people who are true lovers of opera, but also people who are opera curious and they want to expose themselves to something new. It's a great...
I like the opera curious. That's me.
Yes.
Very opera curious.
I may just coin that and use it.
You're welcome. My gift to you. You're very welcome.
But it's true. We have had people come to this concert because they know someone in the chorus or just because they heard about it and were curious or something and come. And I've had people many times say, well, I've never been an opera fan, but my goodness, yeah. You know, and now they're ready to go and see a whole production. So yeah, it's a great way to introduce somebody to the whole art form.
And this is a chorus, but of course, like you mentioned, you have soloists. Can you tell us a little bit more about your soloists?
Yeah. Julie Makarov is the soprano. A big, beautiful voice. A really wonderfully fun and open and normal human being.
Normal?
Well, you kind of think of an opera soloist maybe as superhuman, yeah. Or at least I look at them that way. Like, it's hard to picture them grocery shopping. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well, they do have those moments. Yeah, but she's had quite a career. She has done quite a bit of work all over the country, and it's just, she's a lovely, lovely singer. I'm really excited to have her here. She has sung on the stage of the LA Opera in major roles, and so she's great. Janelle DiStefano is our mezzo. I worked with her this last summer for the first time. And she sang that aria while we were working together. She sang that aria from Samson and Delilah and had me just so taken by what she did that she finished and I said, will you please do this concert because I have to have you on my concert. So that's Janelle. She also runs the opera program at Santa Monica College, in addition to having her own solo career. So she's very much involved in lots of things. Todd Weilander is our tenor. Years ago, he was one of the national winners for the Metropolitan Opera in New York, and he was on their roster for a number of years. He's sung all over the country. Great tenor. And Gabriel Manro is the baritone. Big, rich voice. Really handsome guy, too. That doesn't hurt. And you might call him, when you're talking about different kinds of voices, when we talk about a baritone or a soprano, when we're talking about solo voices, you go into more detail. You know, a soprano can be a lyric soprano or a coloratura or whatever. Gabriel is what we call a Verdi baritone, named after the composer, because he demanded a certain kind of technique and voice for his baritone singers. And they're not all that common to have someone that can sing this repertoire as well as Gabriel. So I'm very excited to have Gabriel sing. He also has quite a background in musical theater and Broadway things.
Very cool.
So, yeah, lots of stuff going on.
Well, excellent. Well, this is I'm really, really excited, and I'm so so happy that this is. That's one of the reasons why I love Los Angeles so much, is because there's so much incredible talent. All you have to do is look for it, and it's just around every corner, and it's so thrilling.
I know.
And
I
so,
know.
So Anne Marie, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about this. And if you are those of you listening, you can see this wonderful performance on Saturday, November 10th at 7:30 p.m. and also Sunday, November 11th at 2 p.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Santa Monica. And for tickets, you can call 800-838-3006. That's 800-838-3006, or go to verdicordis.org.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie.
Yay,
we'll
Anne Marie,
with
thank
applause.
You so much.
Yay.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm getting into the swing of Christmas, my favorite time of year. When snow starts falling and friends come calling to grab a cup or two of cheer. You know I'm jumping into the swing of Christmas.
You're listening to West of Broadway with Will Armstrong and Lara Scott.
Musical theater has a saucy sister. Her name is Cabaret. In New York, if you want to see a truly personal performance from one of your favorite Broadway divas, you can pop on over to Feinstein's 54 Below, or if you're in L.A., places like the Cicada Club. You can be treated to some of Broadway standards, some classical jazz, or even some original tunes. Our next guest is award-winning cabaret legend Todd Murray, and he's joining us by phone to tell us about his upcoming Christmas surprise. Welcome, Todd!
Hi.
Well,
I'm from central Pennsylvania.
Is it cold there yet, by the way?
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's, you know, I live in Los Angeles like you guys do, and I'm just home visiting some family, and it's nice. It's nice to have the crisp air in the evening and
Heck
hear
yeah.
the geese fly over.
Thank you for giving us a little bit of your family time. We appreciate it, and we're so excited to talk to you about all these exciting projects that you have coming up. But first, I wanted to ask you, because this is West of Broadway, and we usually cover musical theater, and how did you get into cabaret as an art form?
It was sort of a little bit of interest and a lot of default.
Okay.
I started out musical theater, and I was successful in it for about 10, 11 years. And to be honest with you, I don't know if you can tell, but I have a low voice. And I found myself, I never thought about it before, but when you know, I had a lot of leading roles when I was younger in college and you know, regional. But when you get into Broadway and these upper, you know, the higher end productions, low voices are usually attributed to older men. And so here I was with this voice that's usually used by characters who are, you know, much older, and I'm 25 and I'm 26. So I got a little frustrated. I didn't really see where I was going to go in musical theater. So after a tour of The Secret Garden, a Broadway tour of that, I decided to move to Los Angeles and start a business. And I did that for 10 years. And when I sold the business, my gift to me was to go back to music. And my passion is probably what we call the American songbook, right? You know, standards and stuff that Crosby and Sinatra and Dean Martin sing. And I was trying to find a way that I could incorporate my music. And the one great thing about cabaret is that you can produce yourself.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to be hired to put on a show. And so that's how I got started. I got accepted in a school at the O'Neill Center in Connecticut, and I did that for like 2 weeks, which is really, you know, it's so different coming from musical theater where you're told what to sing, what to say, and who to be. And all of a sudden you're doing your own show and you have to choose what you sing. You have to choose what you're going to say, and you have to be yourself. And it's quite unnerving. quite terrifying.
Yeah, like, but you can't hide behind anything because it's just Todd Murray right in front of everybody.
And if somebody doesn't like the music, it's your fault because you chose it.
Wow.
You know?
Well, I can't imagine anyone not liking the music you choose.
And I love your story, Todd. I think that's such a great sort of example for all of us in entertainment, where you were very honest about what the future looked like. It's like, here's how far I can take this. I'm going to kind of pivot and do this. And yet you still found a way to incorporate the love that you have of performing. And you have an amazing talent. I've heard you sing. I was telling Will, I was listening on the way here, and I totally fell in love with your voice. On one song. Yeah, one song. And what a wonderful, wonderful story. I just love it. And so you have been doing cabaret for a little while now. Do you have some favorite places to perform here in L.A. and then back on the East Coast?
Yeah, L.A., I've done a lot of venues there. My favorite place was the Pasadena Symphony.
Sure.
Wow.
It wasn't necessarily a cabaret show.
Small, intimate, yeah.
It was a nice venue. But I did the Catalina Jazz Club.
Oh, yes.
Rockwell stage. Mm-hmm. I love Rockwell. And where else? You know, the Gardenia. I've never actually done a show at the Gardenia. But and Botello's, I've sung there.
Yes. Oh,
and
that's great.
York,
Studio City. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, New York is great, too. I mean, there's a lot more venues in New York. And I've done Feinstein's and whatever. But luckily, on Tuesday... Mm-hmm. Coming up soon, I'm going to be singing at Jazz at Lincoln Center or a cabaret evening.
Lara and I are huge fans of BroadwayWorld.com, and I know that you've been awarded many cabaret awards that I've seen on BroadwayWorld.com. Alongside just like the cabaret greats, it's such a wonderful, like I said, like a sister to musical theater, like and to Broadway, and like you said, it's a great way to see the people that you love from the stage, like in person, doing what they love and just sharing a bit of themselves.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's very personal.
So that's the big difference, is you're invited into somebody's living room and you get to know. Hopefully, you get to know that person. But it's also terrifying for a lot of actors. A lot of Broadway people will not do their own show.
Wow.
Because it's a whole different medium of going from letting it all hang out and showing you who I am and my taste in music versus having the comfort of being in a show. So it's a very different medium, but it's exciting. Now, 54 Below, I've performed shows there as well, but 54 Below really, really pulls in a lot of Broadway people. So it's an opportunity to get to see the people you're used to seeing on stage in other shows, up close and personal. So it's a very important medium, and I'm glad that I'm a part of it. It's harder and harder to find venues and to make a living at it, but it's very important to keep it alive because it's a special sort of experience to go to a cabaret show.
Yeah, and that's part of our hope with this podcast, too, is to bring awareness, because I think a lot of people would go, they just don't know, you know, because sometimes you have to go and look for these things. So I always tell people, if you love something, support it so the place doesn't close,
right.
You know, because you might assume everyone's going, but they're not. If we want cabaret to be around for a long time and have access to incredible performers like you. And I have to ask you, Todd, so as we're recording this, it's early October. Have you started performing your Christmas songs yet, or are you holding off until they actually release here soon? Let's talk about the Christmas songs.
Oh, sure. No, I haven't. Well, I did perform them last year, actually. Mm. I was commissioned to put together a Christmas show, and I performed both of them. And happily, I found, you know, they landed exactly as I had hoped they would be. People walked out humming them. They already knew the title. They already caught the hook, you know. So it was really, really fun to to see my vision actually work out the way that I had hoped it would. And I'm performing it in a couple of Christmas shows in November, one in New York on November 27th at the Laurie Beachman.
So, Todd,
I'm working with...
Can you talk a little bit about the names of both the songs and a little bit of, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one's called I'm Getting Into the Swing of Christmas. I'm Getting Into the Swing of Christmas.
Okay.
And the other one's called Let's Hear It for Santa Claus. And the swing tune is, you know, just the way that it sounds. You know, it's a Sinatra, Bublé style tune. It's fun. And Let's Hear It for Santa Claus is more of a Santa Claus is coming to town. You know, it's a little bit more children oriented, but both I think are really catchy and fun, and they will be released October 19th.
Amazing. Something that I think is super cool that you did, because I follow you on social media, is you've created music videos for these songs.
Yes. Well, so far I'm Getting Into the Swing of Christmas, I did two long 12-hour day shoots in L.A. And that's really fun in the middle of summer when it's 95 degrees to be in a tuxedo and try to get in the Christmas mood.
To get in the
swing of Christmas. It was so humid this year, too. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. I was sweating so hard. And I was like, dream of snow and a mistletoe. And the other one, Santa Claus, I'm not quite sure what we're going to come up with a video for that yet. It may just be a sing-along type video at this point. But there's actually a script in the works for that song, too, that maybe to develop it.
Awesome. So the Getting in the Swing of Christmas, is that video going to be available on August 19th, or is it just the audio cut?
October 19th.
October 19th.
October 19th. It's going to also be available. It'll be on YouTube. I'm going to post it on Facebook.
Fantastic. We'll be sure to share.
Instagram.
On our social as well.
Cool. And let me ask you really quickly before we get all the details on where to find everything. What was your inspiration for doing these two songs?
You know, The Swing of Christmas, I was actually singing over in Switzerland with a quartet. And we were talking about getting in the mood because there's this thing, and I guess, especially I think mostly among American audiences, I don't feel the same way about the Christmas season in Europe as I do in America. But we want to get in the mood, and it's easy when you're a kid. It's easy to get the mood when you're a kid. But as we get older, we all want to feel that way, that childlike wonderment again. And that's just what I was thinking about. It's like what does it take? And I realized it was just a switch of the mind. It's like, I'm in the mood now. I'm going to be in the mood. So this song is really about I'm deciding I'm going to get in the swing of Christmas, my favorite time of year, which snow starts falling and friends come calling to grab a cup or two of cheer. It was just a mental switch of the mind that it's time to get in the mood. And so that was really my inspiration. And I swing a lot, and so I chose that medium because it comes easy to me and it's fun, and I hope your audience will like it, and I'm hoping that it might catch on as a song that people will hear year after year.
I have no doubt that they will, and it sounds like it's going to be right up there with all the other Christmas classics that we know and love so much
it's
every
like,
year.
Listen to Todd, Little Hot Chocolate,
exactly.
Watch It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah, Wait for Santa. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
I like it. I like it.
Todd, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We so much appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. We'll be sure to post all of the information about where you can hear Todd's songs and download them for yourselves and watch the videos on our social media. And if you... And you can check out toddmurray.com for any more information about Todd and where he's performing around the country. So thanks so much for helping us make the Christmas season just a little bit more special.
Todd Murray is saving Christmas. I'm saying right there.
Thank you
for bringing on Christmas. Thank you for joining us on West of Broadway. Well, get back to your family. Enjoy your dinner. And hopefully we'll see you out here in L.A. at a show soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Thank you for including me.
Bye.
Thanks, Todd. Bye.
Catch you soon.
Let's hear it for Santa Claus, a jolly guy if there ever was. He
He's got presents for you.
And speaking of the holidays, I'm so excited. We'll love the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. Yeah, it's a very unique theater experience. It's more than just going to see a movie. It's a whole evening out. It's kind of what West of Broadway is all about. It's the magic of the movie combined with the spectacle of live performances, which we're going to get into in just a moment here with our guest. You can never, ever go wrong going to the El Cap, which, by the way, is owned by Disney. Mm-hmm. And they've got some wonderful programming coming up.
Hello, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. It's Will and Lara from the West of Broadway podcast.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I love your voice. You're so cute. You're going to sound so great.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you joining us. We're not recording yet, and so obviously we're not live or anything. And again, if we miss anything you really want us to hit, or if there's something where you're like, ooh, I don't want that in there, we're happy to edit that out when we're done. But basically, we'll have about 10 minutes together, and I wanted to make sure I have your name and the title right. Do you pronounce your last name Goldstein or Goldstein?
Goldstein.
That's and then you're the senior manager of ticket sales and theater operations for Walt Disney Studios in the El Capitan Theater?
That is correct.
All right.
Perfect.
You got it right.
Woo!
Okay, that's good.
We're off to a good start.
All right. I know. All good. We'll just end with that right there. Yeah. Exactly. It was perfect. All right. Well, we're so happy that Peter connected us. We love the El Capitan. In fact, the part that we were just recording before we called you, we were talking about what a magical experience it is. And we'll get into that with you
in just
a minute. Yeah.
And we heard that you were here last week.
I was there for Coco and Sharon.
Yeah.
My son went running up when the Mariachi Divas were up there in the ballet company, and he got to sing It's a Small World with them, which I posted. We just had the most wonderful time. So thank you for just providing such a great experience. We are so excited to have Sharon Goldstein with us. Sharon is the Senior Manager of Ticket Sales and Theater Operations for Walt Disney Studios and the El Capitan Theater. Welcome to West of Broadway, Sharon.
Yay, Sharon.
Yay. Hi. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excited to have you. I love the El Capitan. And for our listeners, I mean, I know you can go on and on and on, but could you give us a brief synopsis, a little history of the El Capitan Theater?
Sure. So the El Capitan Theater since 1991 has been exclusively the first run theater for Walt Disney Studios. We have state-of-the-art technology here, and we do a lot of the premieres. We have special events. We do screenings of classic Disney films. But the El Capitan Theater actually was built in the early 1920s, around the same time that the Chinese and the Egyptian theater were being built. So
sure.
They were kind of the three peer theaters of the Hollywood, and it's also known kind of for its I guess you could say it's best known for Citizen Kane.
Yes.
And the first spoken word movie, and the premiere happened here at the El Capitan Theater.
Amazing. It's mm-hmm. so cool to be such a huge part of movie history.
And, you know, when you think about the golden age of Hollywood, it feels like people dressed up to go to the movies. They were going to these movie palaces, which you usually don't get just going around the corner to the theater, unless you live around the corner from the El Capitan.
Right.
That's your neighborhood theater. You're very lucky. But,
but now people come dressed up in costume to come to the movies here, which is always fun.
Yeah, there's the whole, Disney bounding thing, where you're putting the outfits together, where you look like Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's so much fun. And, for anyone who hasn't been there, it's not just going to see a movie for a lot of the performances. You definitely need to check as far as what screening you're going to, because things do vary from screening to screening. But maybe you can talk a little about the Wurlitzer and then the live performances that happened before some of the showings.
Sure. So it's pretty exciting that we do have a Wurlitzer organ. It's one of seven in the United States, and her name is Ethel.
Wait, the organ has a name?
It does.
Oh,
all the organs have names, yeah.
I didn't know that. Ethel.
Isn't that fun?
It's so
and,
fun.
We do have an organist that plays, and usually the organist played primarily on weekends prior to the movie. We say always call first to find out, because sometimes we don't have the organ playing. Sometimes we have other special things that happen before the movie. But it's always fun to hear it play. And when people like to sing along, and the organ plays as guests are entering the theater, so it kind of makes a nice entrance for everybody to come in and settle into their seats and have a little show before the show.
It's so much fun. And I was there a couple months ago for Avengers Infinity War, and it was Rob Richards, I believe, that was playing.
Yes.
And he did a whole Star Wars medley, and we all went nuts. And then he disappeared down into the stage with Ethel the organ. It was so cool.
Sharon, what are some of your favorite personal memories from the theater?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. this theater, you know, this theater, we used to do a curtain show before the theater, and I am an old Hollywood history buff.
Cool.
And I love the stories of the old vaudeville of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And most theaters boast that the number of curtains that they had prior to the shows told you the level of the quality of that theater. And so 4 was the highest quality for most vaudeville theaters. And I loved our curtain show because it actually had 5 curtains to it as part of the show. So so that just tells you about the quality of our theater.
Yeah. And you know what? I am, like you, a big sort of golden age of Hollywood history buff, too. And just learning about the care that Disney took in restoring the theater. And didn't they like peel through layers of flooring and stuff on the walls to get it back to what it was when it opened? And it was this beautiful movie palace in the 20s.
That is exactly, and it was declared a historic cultural monument by the city of Los Angeles when it was restored back to showcase its original lavish architecture that was done by Charles Toberman and Sid Grauman. So to get it back to that.
So is that the details, like with the balconies and all of the, is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful ceiling. You have to look up when you walk up to the ticket booth and then go upstairs. Do you still have the photographs upstairs?
We do. We have our Hall of Fame upstairs, which does show the history of the theater. We also offer theater tours. A lot of people don't realize that, but we do offer theater tours every day that were open to the general public. And all you have to do is go up to our box office and tell them that you want a tour, and we will take you behind the scenes. And
totally
and
did not know this. I'm so excited.
So many good things. Sharon, thank you.
I have family coming to visit soon, and we are coming. It was awesome.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing, if you have friends coming to town, this is one of those, like, wow, I really saw something cool in Hollywood.
Special, yes.
But it doesn't feel touristy. Yeah.
It is really fun. You get to go down, depending on what's going on, obviously, some shows we can take you behind the scenes and some we can't. But we do try to take everyone behind the scenes. And when we aren't able to take you behind the scenes, we actually have an iPad which shows pictures.
All right.
So you still get to see everything. You don't miss anything.
That's awesome. And this is one of those places where you definitely want to get there early. One, there's always traffic right around Hollywood Highland. it takes a minute to park sometimes. But, you know, if the Wurlitzer is not going, sometimes, like, we did a photo op with a cool Vampirina backdrop. Mm-hmm. We were there just last weekend. We're talking in early October right now.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Coco and the Mariachi Divas were performing. Ballet Folklorico was there. And there was a whole show that went on for probably, like 15 minutes, where they really engaged the kids. I've been there when I saw Ratatouille many years ago. There was the whole Cooking in the Kitchen live performance with people dancing and like banging on pots and pans. So how do you guys theme the performances to the movie? Like, who comes up with what the live portion is going to be?
There is a whole team of magic makers behind the scenes that come up with those ideas. And something that you're talking about, we're coming up on, we're going to be showing Nutcracker and the Four Realms coming up November 2nd to the 18th. And something fun that we're doing with that one is we're actually going to allow guests to come up onto the El Capitan stage. And as they're entering the theater, they'll be able to come in, go up on stage and take pictures with a music box.
Ooh.
And a music box plays a part in the movie, but they'll be able to come and take photos with that. At the same time, there's going to be a musical maestro who will be spinning some tunes to the themes of the Four Realms as guests are getting seated. And then once the lights go down, that magical music box is going to come to life through light and sound and projection. And so we love to do those kind of things. We love to theme things to what's going on with the movie. There's always something different happening with every movie. Sometimes it's characters. Sometimes it's a stage show. Sometimes it's our lower lounge display, like for Hocus Pocus and Nightmare Before Christmas, where we have props and costumes from the movie that will be on display. Sometimes it's an upsell ticket that involves like a character breakfast or a tea with a character or something of that nature. For every February, we have an anniversary of showing for Valentine's Day, Lady and the Tramp, and we do these wonderful date night spaghetti dinners prior to the movie.
That's awesome.
So we have a lot of fun with what we get to do.
That's great. I remember taking my son. He was only about 2 years old at the time. It was one of the anniversaries of Beauty and the Beast, but there was a princess tea, and I think it was across the street at Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
And he was too young to appreciate that a beautiful princess was giving him a hug. Yeah. But I have pictures. It was so great. And you know what, Sharon, talking about the Nightmare Before Christmas, I mean, this is tradition for you guys. It's tradition for so many people. And what is this is where I first learned about what a 4D theater experience is.
Exactly. So we every year, this is the 25th anniversary for Nightmare Before Christmas this year. Can you believe it?
Wow.
And it was first released in 1993, and we've shown it every year. And every year we do something spectacular with it for opening night. And then in the past, I think it's probably been about 5 years that we've been showing it in 4D. And so we show it in 3D, and what happens in the movie will happen to you in the theater. So when fog rolls in the movie, fog rolls into the theater.
Ooh.
When leaves blow, when
oh
the wind
gosh.
Blows, there's scents. When it snows inside the theater. It's a lot of fun.
Every single time we finish an episode, we're always just like, I love that guest. That guest is awesome. And I feel like we become friends with them. Thank you so much for being such an awesome guest.
Thank
I feel like
you
you're so knowledgeable. I feel I had all these prepared questions. I didn't get to any of them because you hit them all yourself. You just went boom, boom, boom.
Everything we wanted to know. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, they're lucky to have you there, Disney.
Yeah.
They're listening to this right now.
You.
Yeah.
I love being here.
It's so amazing.
Such a great thing.
And it shows, you know, and thank you to you and everyone who's there. Everybody's so fantastic. They make it such a nice experience for the families and everyone coming to see a show. So let's talk about how people can book their tickets. Do you recommend booking online, coming to the box office? Because I know a lot of these do sell out quickly.
We do. So when we go on sale for our tickets, and our tickets normally go on sale prior to the rest of the nation. So it's really important for guests to watch our website at www.elcapitanticket.com and our social media on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or they can also call in at 1-800-DISNEY-6. And they can come up to our box office as well. But when our tickets go on sale, we are booked pretty quickly, and we do sell out of a lot of our shows.
Wow, this is such great tips. They really, really, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing all of your El Capitan insight with us. We look forward to seeing you at the next performance. And for those of you listening, pop on over to elcapitantickets.com to get your tickets and maybe meet us at the theater.
Well, that is it for us today. That was an action-packed episode, Mr. Armstrong. And in between shows, we would love to hear from you. You can check us out online and catch up on previous episodes at westofbroadwaypodcast.com. You can subscribe on iTunes, and you can reach out to me. I'm Lara Scott Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we were just talking about seeing Coco with the El Capitan. I blogged about that at larascottmedia.wordpress.com.
And I am Will Armstrong, PR on all social media outlets. And please feel free to follow and message me anytime.
I'm messaging you now.
And thank you so much for joining us here on our podcast. We always have so much fun. And if you're looking for us, you can find us just west of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.